Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is just in the best interest of the United States. Having a foreign company control the steel making in the United States, in my opinion, is not a good one.
That was Mayor Mike Parkinson of Granite City yesterday when he joined us discussing the blocked merger of U.S. Steel and Nippon Steel. The Biden administration blocked the nearly $15 billion merger. But joining us now with perhaps an alternative viewpoint of this blocked merger is Scott Linsicum. He's the Vice President of General Economics at Cato Institute's Herbert A. Stiefel Center for Trade Policy Studies. And Scott, thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate your time on this.
No, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and as Granite City, if you're familiar with the St. Louis area, right across the river from us, it's part of the bi-state area. And Granite City, my co-host Chris Ranji from there, it is a steel town. The community is around those steel plants. And so we've been following this issue with U.S. Steel, with Nippon Steel, from a very local perspective, wondering, okay, are people going to lose jobs in this town? Wanted to get your thoughts on this blocked merger.
Sure. The most likely course for saving U.S. Steel jobs actually is the Nippon Steel acquisition. The reality is that U.S. Steel, as an independent company, has been struggling for years, is really behind the eight ball in terms of needing to upgrade a lot of its older facilities, including in Granite City. And didn't really have a clear strategy for doing that. And instead, the company was looking at actually closing some of those facilities and moving to newer, more efficient facilities that it's opened in the South. So Nippon Steel comes along and says, not only are they going to pay a massive premium for the company, way more than what the other rival bidder, Cleveland Cliffs, was going to pay, but they promised to invest almost $3 billion in those very same steelmaking facilities. U.S. Steel's CEO has said that without those investments, they might have to close the plants. And so, foreign investment versus domestic investment aside, the reality is that it's the Nippon Steel plan that's most likely to help these communities. And it's unfortunate, I think, that it's been blocked.
Mayor Parkinson's argument is that the Nippon deal, he and their government had not been communicated with by anybody other than the steel union, which has been in contacts with them a lot, but they can't get anybody from U.S. Steel to talk to them. They can't get anybody from Nippon to talk to them. So they want whatever assurances there are to be in writing, but they are not getting those. Why are they not getting those?
Yeah, that's actually surprising to hear, because Nippon Steel has been very clear in writing repeatedly that it isn't going to shut down any unionized facilities in the United States. So I have no idea what's going on with the mayor of Granite City, I'll admit. But there actually was an independent arbitration panel that looked at this deal. The panelists were nominated and appointed by both the United Steelworkers Union and U.S. Steel. And the arbitration panel said point blank that this deal can proceed, and it can proceed because Nippon had made these written promises to invest in these facilities. The Nippon Steel has also made several promises to the United States government regarding these facilities, has even offered to give the United States government veto power over future plant decisions. So, again, it's always hard to know in kind of this fog of war setting what's going on in specific places, but everything publicly and officially indicates that the Japanese company is very much on board with these investments.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I did note, I asked the mayor about some of those points that you brought up, the promised investment, the veto power, and he said, talk is cheap until I see it in writing, and it could be that he wasn't being communicated with. But I guess, if Nippon Steel is making those offerings, this deal was blocked under the mantle of national security. Now, I know Japan is one of our closest allies. I know we, you know, they buy lots of weapons and so forth from us, so we trust them to a certain deal. Is this a national security issue?
Not at all. First, you know, U.S. Steel evokes a lot of nostalgia for Americans, but the reality is that U.S. Steel is a relatively small company today. It's the third largest steel maker in the United States. None of its facilities have direct connections to the Defense Department or the U.S. military. In general, Japanese investment in the United States is a totally uncontroversial thing. You know, you see Japanese automakers all across the country. There are billions of dollars in investment, thousands of Americans employed by these Japanese-owned companies. And as you mentioned, you know, the Japanese government is one of the United States' closest allies. There are thousands of American troops stationed in Japan. You know, you really can't get much closer. And so at the end of the day, combined with the investments that Nippon Steel has promised, there really isn't a solid case. And you don't really even need to take my word for it. As I've written and researched, you can go across the political spectrum from left to right to center at national security experts, at foreign investment experts who have looked at this deal, and they've all said that it doesn't raise any national security issues. And then even a lot of people inside the U.S. government, whether it's at the Treasury Department or the State Department or the Pentagon, they've also agreed that this doesn't raise any national security issues. At the end of the day, unfortunately, it seems like it's a lot about politics and not much about policy.
So what about the politics? Where is the benefit from President Biden blocking this or from Donald Trump seeming to be on the same page as it goes to this deal?
Yeah, it really comes down to the labor unions, the United Steelworkers Union, which really wants to bolster its political and economic power by partnering with Cleveland-Cliffs, the other bidder for U.S. Steel, and has simply said that it will not accept any other bidder, particularly Nippon Steel. This is a politically powerful union that has a lot of members in politically important places like Pennsylvania. And that seems to have carried the day, particularly if you're to believe a lot of the reporting that's been done on this, that, you know, at the end of the day, President Biden is a union guy and he sided with the labor union, even though I should note, you know, thousands of U.S. steel workers have turned out in support of this Nippon Steel deal, you know, so folks on the ground, but the leadership is against, and that seems to have pushed Biden and Trump to oppose it.
So, Scott, if Nippon Steel, if they were to buy U.S. Steel, would that not affect the union? Like the workers would still remain unionized, the steel workers and so forth, or were
It's really hard to say. Sorry. You know, it seems that it's more about influence inside the company than it is about those specific jobs, because Nippon Steel has been very clear that they don't plan on cutting any union jobs. But I think it's quite possible that the United Steelworkers Union has less sway over a Nippon-owned U.S. Steel than they would over U.S. Steel itself right now or Cleveland-Cliffs owned U.S. Steel. So that, again, it strikes me as being more about power and influence inside the company, in the government and elsewhere than it is about actual steelworker jobs.
Yeah, I do get the mayor's point on the wanting it in writing that, you know, they say they're not going to close the plant or they say they're not going to eliminate jobs. But until they have shown us in writing they are not going to do it, we don't trust it. That I totally understand, but it does seem like there isn't a whole lot. There are a lot of people who agree. There are a lot of people who do not. So from my perspective, it looks like there's so many differing opinions on this deal, and that it's not one monolith of ideas here, that a lot of people really truly are on both sides of this.
Yeah, and you know, and this I think we should reiterate. This is a private transaction among two private companies that are both publicly traded. And, you know, unless there is some sort of national security issue, quite frankly, the government shouldn't have a say in the matter. And that's, I think, what we tend to forget in all of this, right? That this is a willing private transaction among voluntary participants. And for some reason, everybody thinks they should have a voice in this when in reality, in almost any other case, nobody would be saying a word. You know, if this company weren't named U.S. Steel, and didn't have a lot of influential votes in places like Pennsylvania, you know, I don't think it would even make a blip on the radar screen, because in terms of total value, it's actually a relatively small merger. It's just, you know, once politics gets involved, then things get amped up to you know, pretty ludicrous levels sometimes.
Yeah, Scott, it's interesting that you bring up even like the name U.S. Steel. Do you think some of the political aspect of this is the rise in populism in both the Republican and Democratic parties, and this idea of U.S. Steel being sold to a Japanese company? It's just on a superficial level, just purely the optics. They kind of want to make that more USA populism push.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right. You know, along with all the union politics and the rest of that stuff, the reality is that when the name U.S. Steel still evokes a lot of memories and economic nostalgia for a lot of people. And to be out there as President Biden or future President Trump and saying that you're championing an American-owned U.S. Steel, that's going to resonate with a lot of those populist voters, kind of fueling that nostalgia and sentiment. So, it makes perfect sense from that perspective as well.
Scott, really good stuff. That's Scott Linsicum, Vice President of General Economics at the Cato Institute's Herbert A. Stiefel Center for Trade Policy Studies. Scott, we appreciate your time today. Would love to have you on again.
My pleasure. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you so much. That is Scott Linsicum. Yeah, Ron, really interesting with the mayor. You could feel his frustration with this, the lack of transparency on this deal. And also, I think with the snow. I think he was dealing with a lot yesterday.
people were like, oh, what? When are you going to plow my road?
Know,
just leave me alone. We're working on it.
Trying to handle the steel plant. Can you ask him when my neighborhood's going to be done? So the mayor had a full plate yesterday. We'll talk to Scott again, because I also want to follow this lawsuit, see if it goes anywhere, because it does. I think the name U.S. Steel sounds so official, you kind of forget. Like, oh, that's a private company, and Nippon's a private company, and this was just a deal between two private companies. I don't know why it feels more Defense Department-y, you know, for lack of better term.
I'll tell you what, and I would love somebody to back me up on this, somebody who was employed by Granite City Steel, which is what we called it when I was growing up, and whether or not this was true, but I was always told that because of security purposes, you weren't allowed to take photographs of the plant.
Like from the outside?
There was something about photos. They weren't allowed to do that because there were security concerns. And I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if it was a national security thing or whatever. But I always found that to be really interesting. But that's what we were always told.
Yeah. You know, Ranja, speaking of that, we got a message on our YouTube channel from Harold. He says, I work at U.S. Steel in Granite. It's awful that they won't tell us anything. It's been going on for over 2 years. Please tell us something. Our lives are on hold.
Yeah, and here's, I think it would be upon both of these companies to reach out to the mayor. Talk to the mayor. Maybe they think they don't need to. But talk to the mayor so he can tell his people what he's hearing from you directly and not just what the union is telling him. I mean, don't you think that would be automatic?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like the mayor wants more information, too. He had said reach out even to your congressperson, to representative, someone that you can talk to. But we will continue to follow this story. Obviously, a huge impact on the area. Hey, I don't know if you saw, there was a story in the St. Louis Business Journal about Mayor Tashara Jones and her busy Travel schedule. She was out of town on work trips at least 64 times during her first 42 months in office. Later on in the hour, we will be joined by the director of communications for the mayor, Connor Kerrigan. He joins us in studio. It is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.